Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host here in Los Angeles. And this is Raising the Vibration. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. We're at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. And, of course, the network is at LiveParanormal.com. Please join us here or on all of our syndicates, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio. The list goes on and on. I never get them all. Soon I will memorize them all, I promise. This is my first year here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. Raising the Vibration is an outreach of a movement of peace and love and kindness and unity that I founded on November 9th of 2016, my mother's birthday, to carry on her teachings and both spiritual and humane the same year that she passed. Really, that changed my life. It started my ministry. And it began my spiritual practice. I took over her spiritual work and her gifts and really changed the, my life will forever be before that and after that. Here on Raising the Vibration Radio, we not only follow those cornerstone words of peace, love, kindness, and unity that RaisingTheVibration.org, the nonprofit movement, is about, but we carry it one step further, and our cornerstone words here are ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. So how are you raising your vibration every day? Despite the things in the world and in your life that make you feel like your vibration is being pushed down, how is that encouraging your own spiritual evolvement? What are you doing with that ascension and that evolvement to inspire others to do the same? And then are you just putting a boatload of love into it? Because love is really everyone's true religion, and love is all there is. So every week on the show, I feature beautiful, brilliant, wonderful people that I love who understand give back, who understand service, who have done things with their own lives to give back to the world, and who are all struggling every day, as I am struggling every day, to raise the vibration in a world that sometimes wishes that you weren't and or sometimes mocks you because you are. So today's guest is a longtime friend, really a family member at this point, somebody that I love with my whole heart, that I've worked many, many years with on the radio, personally, professionally. I admire and respect so much, and maybe we'll even get her to admit a little bit of her own spiritual gift today on the show. And it's been a long time since we've done radio together, too long. Welcome back on Raising the Vibration for the very first time ever, but also we haven't done radio together in, I don't know, she probably knows how long it's been. The wonderful Susan Olson is here. Hello, my friend. How are you? It's wonderful to hear your voice.
Hello. It's great to hear your voice. You're one of great to be on the air with you.
So glad. You're one of the rare people I've actually seen since COVID, like face-to-face.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
we
break the rules. And I wanted
even
to...
Even now that you can... I'm sorry.
Hmm?
Uh-huh.
Well, I just wanted to publicly congratulate you on your vibrator, your new vibrator, which would be...
Oh, thank you.
Colin.
Thank you. Oh, I know, right? I do. I have a new baby, and I always say I have a very young baby and a very old baby now, and I love them both more than life itself. I don't know if you know, but Molly has cancer.
Aww.
Molly's going to be 18 in 2 months, and she has intestinal lymphoma, which is relatively common in cats. My little Liam.
Yes, it is.
Whom I believe Cullen is the reincarnation of. I always thought Seamus would come back, and boy, did I get a surprise. It was little Liam. He also died of that. So it's interesting that now that I have Cullen right in time for Aaron, for Molly to get that. And but she's hanging in there. She's responding well to the steroids. I moved her down to the beach because everybody needs to move to the beach, I guess, now. And
She's
doing okay. So and Cullen is a dream
steroids
come true. That
wonderful.
Man is my soulmate. I know.
Yeah,
they're
just miracle workers for cats, and I refer to cats as vibrators because, you know, they literally do raise our vibration because they vibrate, they purr, and that does magical things. Yeah, and for anybody who's going, oh no, they're going down the cat loving road. You know,
But isn't the cat-loving world a good place to be? Isn't that where we want to be in the cat-loving world? I mean,
it's
interesting because
there's those naysayers.
Fosters. Right.
Yes.
I think the cat should be burned because we're all witches.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, well, you know, I'm seventh generation granddaughter of a woman who was hanged in Salem.
Right.
So, and one of her one of her crimes that her own daughter confessed to was that she turned into a black cat at night.
Really?
And
her daughter said
that. My aunt. Well, you know, they got the children to testify. They hogtied Andrew, who I'm a direct descendant of, until he confessed to being a witch or a warlock. But they had the youngest daughter actually testify in court. And my Aunt Connie told me that, I don't know if there's proof of this, her belief, but that this little girl was instructed to be in a play and was given the lines to rehearse. And so, I mean, she certainly didn't have any idea that she was sending her mother to the gallows. But can you imagine being the mother and listening to your daughter giving that kind of testimony and knowing what it would do to you? It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, isn't that? But
yeah.
Isn't it, so do you feel that? I mean, I know I'm trying to get you to admit to guts on the show. Do you feel that interpol of your witch, it's being a witch descendant?
Yes, very much so. I believe in, genetic memory, because I've had this insane sense of justice and injustice since I was a child, and if anything was unfair, it just drove
me
nuts.
Me too.
Quite literally, like the episode of Bewitched, which, of course, I love that show, and I had no idea that this person was in my family tree, but there were those episodes where Samantha went to Salem, and she testified on behalf of the other women who were in court saying, no, they're not witches. If they were, could they do this? And I think they had somebody playing Cotton Mather. I don't know, but I remember
I
that. Just being intensely
I don't remember
involved
that, but I love
that.
It.
And like, ooh, she's showing them. So, justice and injustice are really very big deals to me. And
I see injustice,
kills me.
It's such an enormous thing for me, and it's interesting that you brought that up because I don't feel that other people are like that. And sometimes when I see hypocrisy or when I see some kind of injustice, it is the injustice itself that makes me angry more than anything else. I always say it's just the injustice of it all. I probably say that, you know, maybe 10 times a week about something. And there is a lot of injustice in the world. And I think that we...
Well, and that's what you're feeling. You can, cook it down to its essence.
exactly.
So,
That's exactly right.
It could be a different situation. I could be in a situation where maybe I would be defending somebody who's doing something that I don't necessarily agree with, or wouldn't necessarily defend. But if they're being treated badly, it's going to upset me. I think that regardless of whether or not I have the jab, I would be against vaccine mandates. And there we go.
And Susan got political. It took 5 minutes. So here's how I kind of feel like that, and not to get political. But I believe that people should be able to make a choice for what they want to do with their life. And now, if what they want to do with their life is put puppies in a sack and throw them in the river or rape kids, then that's not okay, or abuse old people.
Right.
That's not all right. But if what you wanted, like for instance, I chose not to do chemotherapy for Molly. She's almost 18, which means in human years she's almost 85. If it was an 85-year-old person, I wouldn't put them through chemo, and I'm not going to put my cat through that. Now, there are animal people, right, who are looking at me now disdainfully because they, well, you're just going to let your cat die. She's lived longer than any cat I've ever had, and I will not, just like
I'm going to let her die in
father.
Peace.
No, exactly.
I'm going to let her die in peace rather than die in agony so that I can hang on to her a little longer.
Well, and so that she can have a quality of life. You know, when my father was 87 and was diagnosed with brain cancer, they wanted to do radiation on him, and it was going to be five hours a day, 5 days a week for 5 weeks. Now, this man was in a semi-vegetative state, and when they asked him what his name was, he said Magnolia. So that's the kind of state he was in, unless his drag name was secretly Magnolia, and I just didn't know.
Could be.
And so I could see the looks on their faces when my mom and I said, absolutely not. And with the glioblastoma that he had, which is the most severe kind of brain cancer, all of this was to extend his life by maybe 3 to 6 months. I mean, 3 to 6 months, I blink my eyes and 3 to 6 months has passed. I mean, it's just not even worth putting somebody through. So now, of course, that's not
I totally agree with that.
But I do believe people have a choice, should have a choice, and we shouldn't shame people for being vaxxed, and we shouldn't shame people for not being vaxxed, because people should be allowed to choose what they want to do with their lives. And that means if I'm 25 years old and I get diagnosed with cancer and I say I am not going to do chemotherapy, that's my choice. You know?
Right. Yes. Yes. And I can't imagine how that could be anybody else's choice, really. I mean, when it comes to, let's say, I'm not going to get political, I'll get medical. If it's something where you are infecting others, you know, let's say, I do believe that masks work, but, you know, a lot of people are against them, but I really think, if you're using it to protect yourself, no, it's not working. But if you're using it to protect others, I think it does. You know, it captures those droplets. Most of us haven't been getting sick. And I think that's why. I mean, I know that, my gosh, I was so ahead of the fashion curve when in 2019, the end of 2019, I had I teach acting for children, as you know. We had a showcase, and I thought I was coming down with the plague. And so, you know, I came to the showcase. I had to be there, but I wore a mask. And, you know, little did I know, within a couple of months, everybody would be doing that. But, do that.
So
do
you
that to protect other people.
Do you think you had COVID?
No, I
don't.
Do
you think you had COVID?
No, not at all.
I did.
Not at all, because whatever it was, I threw it off.
Yeah, I had COVID, and I have to tell you, and I'm a long hauler.
Oh,
so good for you. I had it. I'm a long hauler. My girlfriend and I both have the ongoing symptoms. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. We have some of the same symptoms and some different symptoms. Her kids also got it. They still have symptoms. So we're a long-haul family right now. And
I get concerned. Websites, if you don't know them, that have advice for long-haulers.
Oh, I would love that.
There's
you know, one of my best friends is a nurse, as you know. One of my best friends, Suzanne, is a nurse, as you know. And clinics are opening up all over the country specifically to help long haulers, which I think is wonderful. But my sort of political rant has been that we're spending so much time fighting over whether COVID is real and whether we should get vaccinated and fighting with each other, as we always do in this country. Meanwhile, there are tens of thousands of people who have had COVID and are messed up. And we're not asking the questions like, what can we do to help these people? And I would be asking these questions even if I hadn't had it. How do we help the people who've had it and lived?
Well, and also, how do we help the people who get it and help keep them out of the hospitals? And we have had the answers to those questions, and they have been prevented. And that's what really gets me and you know, bothers me, you know, it gets my sense of justice going that there have been all these cases where they could have been helped. But because there was this political, financial, whatever, desire to have a vaccine, you can't have treatment that works and get the push, the fast track for a vaccine. So, you know, that became... I think it's both political and financial and maybe just plain evil.
Sure.
But there were things that were working. They weren't perfect. They weren't cures. But with more use of them, I mean, the alternative medicines have gotten better and better. You know, these various cocktails of things that work. And the key was to keep people from getting so bad that they went to the hospital. And what we did in the early days of COVID was to send people home and say, come back when your lips turn blue. And I think that was unconscionable.
Yes, because I had it in March of 2020.
Yeah.
Instead of
fighting,
the answer was, don't come in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't do anything for you. And a lot of those doctors meant it because they didn't know there were things they could do. And some of the doctors that tried to help people were they were punished for it.
Yeah.
And that's got to really, you know, chap your hide. It's like, you know, they find something that works, and next thing you know, it's banned. And the latest one, I just found out that there's a supplement, NAC. NAC stands for some long words that I don't recall. But it helps with some long haulers. It helps with people that have gotten sick so they don't have the cytokine storm. And they're now starting to pull it off the shelves and make it by prescription only. Okay. You know? It's just crazy. So how do you keep your vibration when things are this crazy?
Well, this is how for me. I'm a history nut. I look at the history of the world, and I think in some respect, things are always crazy. They're not always this crazy, but they do get this crazy. And people live their lives, and the world keeps turning, and the sun keeps rising and God keeps smiling on us all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot let the negativity in the world bring you down. And you have to talk about what you believe in, the service and the passion, like we talked about on the show. What are you doing to make the world a better place? You pick your battles, right? The things that are important to you are the things you fight for. But you can't get bogged down in... you can't get bogged down in the negativity of humanity, because if it's not this thing, it's going to be something else. It's always going to be something. But this is a particularly crazy time. Right.
Yeah, and if you feel, see, to me it's like, you know, it's like being on the Titanic and going, hey, there's an iceberg. Then you owe it to your fellow humans, you know, to speak out and say, you know, there's an iceberg coming up real close and you might want to pay attention to it. No, you don't yell fire in a crowded theater, but if the curtains are smoldering, perhaps you do.
Right, and you have to look at the hypocrisy of humans. So I will tell you a hypocrisy of humans story I have not told on the air. So when COVID hit, I was involved in a project, entertainment project, long-standing project. And I was chastised and shamed for not coming in to meet face-to-face with people because, one, I felt horrible. I mean, at its peak, I had a fever of almost 104. And
oh,
you know
gosh,
me, I hardly ever get sick. I mean, you've known me forever. I almost never get sick.
And if you do, you're going to plow through it.
Right, I work anyhow, right? Two, I didn't think it was a good idea for me to come in because we didn't yet know really what the contamination period was like. And I didn't want to be right up in somebody's face with my COVID. So I was sort of put on suspension for not participating in the face of COVID. But I didn't tell anyone I had COVID. I just said I was very sick. Because at that time, you were treated like a pariah if you had COVID, and I wasn't ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
So months later.
Yeah, you're right.
A couple months went by. First, everything was locked down. And then a couple months went by. And once again, this project rolled back around. And it was, are you ready to come back in? And now, imagine in the beginning, I wasn't allowed to go in because this person's fear of COVID was so strong that I wasn't allowed anywhere near anybody, and I was like a pariah. By the time 2 months had rolled around, this person had flip-flopped politically and decided there was no COVID. So when I admitted to having COVID, I was removed from the project for lying because there is no COVID. So first it was the massive fearful of the COVID person who then decided there was no COVID. And in the end, I got screwed on both directions. And so, I mean, what are you going to do except think, okay, well, people are crazy. And the hypocrisy
right,
of it
all, crazy,
right?
If they're crazy, you're better off not working with them.
Right, and that's where I pretty much, that's the beautiful thing. And I've talked about this with a lot of people. It's so funny, every week on the show we say we're not going to talk about COVID, and every week we do. But it's the time of COVID, right? What COVID did for me was it pulled me away from long enough to realize how much crap I was taking from people. And it separated from them long enough to realize who belonged and who didn't, and that I didn't need that in my life.
There are so many people that have said that.
Yeah.
It was like a calling of the
herd. Because humanity is an addiction as well, right? Because
humans
are an addiction as well. And you have sometimes when you
definitely.
Get away from them, it's like when you get off sugar for 6 months, you're like, ooh, why did I ever do that? Sugar's
Boy.
Gross. And then
I'll
you go back
to
it, you're like, sugar's
day.
Great.
I still haven't been able to do that.
I'm just starting to do it again now. Trust me, during COVID, nobody did it.
Right. Yeah, it's the COVID-19.
So I'm having a hard time with. Right, exactly. Except it was more like 40. So I have a hard time with that kind of hypocrisy. And I think what we're seeing pandemic is just human beings, right, Susan, having another excuse to be hypocrites. It's
well,
human beings
you know
finding
what?
Another excuse.
And you know what else I think it is? And spiritually speaking, there isn't anything less becoming to the soul than fear. And, you know, there are some who say there's only two things. There's love and there's fear, and everything comes out of one or the other. And fear is often the absence of love. And so the fear, like, I've noticed that there are people who – because they have gotten vaccinated, if there's a discussion about whether or not it should be mandatory, they will take a side that's coming from, hey, don't you dare tell me I did something wrong, which I don't think it's anybody's position, authority to tell anybody. You know, I don't think anybody knows.
Yes.
But it's a fear of, yeah, don't tell me I made a mistake here. And
right.
I think, you know, when it comes to being fearful, and I'm not trying to pat myself on my pointy head, but I have just learned that, you know, the best way to deal with fear is to turn around and look at it and go, mm-hmm. okay, there you are. This is what I'm afraid of. Okay, let me stick my face into the wearing blender of it. Let me, you know, really face it and be honest about it. And that
yeah.
almost always, you know, it's I think it's a classic fairy tale. There's this big monster, and finally somebody dares to turn around and confront it, and it's just a little monster.
Yeah, right.
So, and being honest and being honest with your fellow human man instead of us being at each other's throats. You know, that's another reason why I feel for the people that have to wear masks for 8 hours. You know, that's a whole different story. I don't have to do that. I think masking children is a whole different story. But for me, it's like, well, I have this little chance to let people know, yeah, I care. You know, and unfortunately, I don't think people understand that. I think everybody thinks that if you wear a mask, you're protecting yourself. But that's not who you're protecting. You're protecting your fellow humans. And I want people to know that I want to protect them. I did a gig with with one of my favorite people. You know how much I love her, Marion Ross.
Oh,
and
yes.
She's 92. And so they wanted us to take off our masks and pose. And, you know, we're doing, you know, publicity shots. And I'm like, I'm holding my breath for, you know, just in case.
Right.
Because she's 92.
Right, right, yeah.
And she keeps grabbing me and she's hugging me and she wants to pull me closer. And it was difficult. Because as much as I want to go, oh, stop with the fear mongering and all. There is a risk, and we are going to take these things seriously.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely true. Yeah, especially with our older folks, we need to be careful with them.
Yeah,
because they
and,
are.
You know, she's
they're,
very motherly.
They're delicate.
Exactly. Yeah, and then also,
isn't
you know,
she lovely?
I mean, We did a musical where I work. It was a semi-original musical called Peter Pandemic. And I was writing a song parodies. And, one of the songs I wrote was, you know, I won't grow up. Instead of I won't grow up, it's I won't mask up. And writing lyrics, you know, telling the kids, no, it's okay. You do it for other people, and you know, at the end of the song, the boy is going, "I will mask up," and you know, trying to set some kind of an example. Even though at the time, you know, I have my own beliefs, I'm not going to put those on the kids. And trying to tell the kids the most positive things, like, "Hey, guess what? Because we've learned so much from all of this, we'll probably never have a bad flu season again." And you try to be positive.
True, right?
Well, yeah.
You know, CVS today, they tried to push the flu shot on me. Oh, not the flu shot. I said, the COVID vaccine? He's like, no, the regular flu shot. Thinking, honey, nobody has the regular flu right now.
Exactly. Because they can't tell the difference. Don't PCR tests do not distinguish. So it was very strange the first flu season of COVID. We had zero flu cases.
It's
so
funny, though, isn't it? I think it's hysterical. We found the cure.
Well, I'm kind of wondering what What variety did they choose? That's interesting because, you know, it's always an eeny, meeny, miny, mo when it comes to the flu shot every year, and sometimes they get it right, sometimes they don't. Wow.
Yeah,
wow, you're the first person I've heard
and
deal with that.
Yeah, I think they thought, well, man, we still got a charge for this flu shot. Look, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I was vaxxed as a kid. I don't know if I had kids now what I would do, because it seems like there's a lot of weird vaccines for a lot of weird things, but I'm not an anti-vaxxer. You know, I got tetanus shots, and if I had to go somewhere to, like, a country where they required vaccines, I would get them.
Yeah.
But I do think there are people who have sensitivities to vaccines, and I have not been vaccinated. I know that's, oh, now everyone's booing, and all my liberal friends are turning off their radios. It's not a political thing. It's I don't believe long haulers should get vaxxed because I don't think it's good for us.
Either.
Until they know what's going on with us, we should not have anything else put in our system because we don't know where our immune systems
Absolutely.
Are. If we were normal people with normal immune systems, it would be a whole different thing. For non-long haulers, I think you want to get a vax, go ahead and get one. Fantastic. If it makes you sleep better at night,
they know enough about anything, any of it. They don't know enough about long haulers, and they don't know enough about the vaccine. They don't know what the long-term deal is with the vaccine. And there has been more injury and bad effects from this than any other vaccine we've seen. But we're not being told that, which bothers me. It's a whole new technology. And, like, for me, you know, I'll tell you, I'm not vaccinated. It is political slightly because, you know, I'm not going to cave to tyranny, but it's mostly because I get hemiplegic migraines. And I really don't want spike proteins in my blood and, you know, any extra chances of clotting because I'm already on aspirin therapy. So, you know, but those are the choices. I've always said my body, my choice, so there's nothing different in that. But I think, I really do think that when it comes to the vibration and how we treat each other, you know, you just said now your liberal friends will be like, oh, dear. In the first place, there is no science. There's absolutely no science at all that says that non-vaccinated people are a danger to vaccinated. In fact, it's looking the other way because vaccinated, it seems, shed more virus without knowing that they're infected, which doesn't mean you shun the vaccinated either. You know, you just try to everybody be healthy and try not to hate each other because that's what they really want. And when I say they, I mean political people. They want to set each other
Exactly. Nobody shun anybody.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that because I before the pandemic, I taught in Dallas twice a year. And I loved it. I loved that city. I'd never been to Dallas in my life, and I fell in love with it. And without a doubt, every time I taught, When I teach a class called I Am Raising My Vibration, somebody always asks me, you know, what goes on politically with the right versus the left or the Democrats versus the Republicans, whatever you want to call it. Why do I think? And I always say exactly what you said. I think that somewhere there is a faction of humans, and I'm using humans with finger quotes because I don't think there's a lot of humanity there, that are neither Republican nor Democrat, but are benefiting from all of us being at each other's throats.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like
I'm ready to accept reptilian shapeshifters at this point because they've just gotten so ridiculous. And it's not – the Democrat Party does not resemble the Democrat Party, and the Republican Party doesn't resemble the Republican Party. It's just – it's like – these politicians are a different species, and they've morphed into something really ugly.
Yeah.
And it's never been a better time to be a party pooper. I encourage y'all to get out of the game.
Yeah, I you know what, I am a Democrat because, like, you know, because we hosted a political show together for years. I still believe it's the Democratic Party of the 40s because I'm a constant idealist. But my optimism is a source of anger for many people in the world, I believe. But
well,
you're right.
You're like
unrecognizable.
I love Alan Dershowitz, and he says he's waiting for his party to come back. I'm like, yeah, honey, okay. I started out as Republican, but that was way before you ever even met me. And I got out of that during W's reign. But I became a Libertarian only because I wanted to see another party kind of give the other two a run for their money. But everything is dealt with on a case-by-case basis. And there's no making a decision just because of a letter next to a name or a proposition.
No, I agree.
And if
with that
I don't know what it's about, I leave it blank. I do not vote for something that I don't know about. And that's a wise thing to do because just recently, I don't know, some really flamboyant something. So somebody ran for a Republican position and they were like transsexual, just like everything that the average Republican wouldn't be too cool with. And they won simply because they had the R after their name, which you know,
right.
Just showed that. And this person did not really go by any of the things that Republicans were standing for. And it just shows, hey, that little letter doesn't mean anything. And if you don't know what's going on, don't vote. I wanted to start a campaign called Just Stay Home. But
yeah, exactly.
Then they
don't
had voting by mail. Yeah, no rock the vote. Exactly. Just, if you don't know what's going on, stay home, watch cartoons, do whatever. But don't vote about something that you don't know about.
Right, or learn, or take the time to learn. So you know what, it's an honor to vote. I'm going to learn what it is that I like, not just listen to what somebody else says. Because I hear these kids, I'm down in Orange County now, back where I ran to get away from, right, the Christian home of the West. And so many of these kids, they don't even know what they're saying. They're just repeating the stuff, and they're just repeating the stuff because it's the same stuff you hear them all say, and it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And they're not learning the history in school, so they're not learning about the history. I watched this fantastic show on Hulu. Have you seen it called Mrs. America?
No.
It's a story about this woman who was Phyllis Schlafly. Was this alt-right Christian woman, and about how her attempts to stop the Equal Rights Amendment. And the interesting thing was the women that were supporting the ERA, they were Democratic and Republican women working together. They didn't have they weren't the Christians. And it was before the Republican Party became a party of Christianity, pre-Reagan. And it was really interesting to sort of see people, two parties working together in this, like, really cool way, And some of the Republican senators and congressmen were on board with passing the ERA, and some of the Democrats weren't, because then it was more about people voting what they thought their constituency wanted and not this party line that had to be, everything one way or another. And I thought it was really interesting, and it made me very proud to be a child of the 70s. And it kind of made me wish, like I have many times in my life, that I could go back to the 70s and be an adult. Because I think the 70s were
a
very vibration-raising time,
Yeah, yes. And people cared about it. What we have so much now, and it could be part of the reason why we're in the state that we're in. They say good times make weak men, or let's just say people. Good times make weak people make hard times make strong people make good times make weak people. So, you know, rinse, repeat. And I think that it's been very easy for people to be very, very, very superficial about everything. I mean, look at all the virtue signaling going on.
Yeah.
The entertainment industry just makes me want to vomit every day.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's constant. It's like, yeah, okay, tell me about it. They wouldn't be able to talk about it. It's not, you know, people, you know, just scratch a little bit, scratch the surface, and then think they're really deep. And it's too bad, but there are a lot of, you know, my son is 25, and there are a lot of young people that are kind of going against that just don't want to make snap judgments, that actually want to look into things. Or at least among my son's friends, there are quite a few like that. Go, well, yeah, but gotta look over here and look at it from this angle. And they're not afraid to, they don't have their identity wrapped up in how their mind is made up. They're free thinkers.
Yes. Isn't that beautiful? And they, you know, my girlfriend's kids are 18, 20, and 23. And her daughter, who's the youngest, who is, you know, like my soul child.
Aww.
I mean, that girl researches. Like, she is constantly online researching everything. And somebody puts something up on TikTok, and then they go 20 places and they read about it. You know what I mean? So they have all this amazing ability to research things, whereas we as kids, right, somebody down the street said something, we just repeated it. Like, there wasn't any way to check.
But well, or you'd have to go to the library. And because I was always one to go to the library or go to the encyclopedia or whatever, and, you know, now I'm that way. I go look up something online and just, you know, 5 hours later, I realize I never looked up the thing that I want to look up. I several times I've like sent my son a video. Although these days he's kind of like, Mom, stop with the political stuff, okay? But I would send him the video. And he's like, I'm watching that right now. He had found it himself. Yeah, so, I mean, he's looking around. He's looking in all these nooks and crannies. He'll turn me on to somebody. And or every now and then, although his BS meter is really, really good, he was just born with it. And every now and then he'll say, well, what do you think about blah, blah, blah? And it's like, oh, come on, honey. You know, let's hope that's a conspiracy theory. And if it isn't, let's not worry about it because it's just too weird.
Now, does he? Something that I think a lot of people in this generation have.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm losing you. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Would you repeat the question? Uh-oh, I think I lost you.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I was saying that, does he have that thing that a lot of kids of that generation has, where they seem to be losing a lot of that me generation stuff and thinking more about everybody as a whole?
Yes, very much so. And he's very, he's maybe a little too intolerant of people that are, you know, into that whole me generation. Doesn't like, you know, the TikTokers, and he's more altruistic, and, you know, remember, he's also on the spectrum, so everything's just a little askew, but his BS meter is huge.
Yeah, that's nice, right?
Oh, it is. It is. He's never, like, even when he was a kid, it really works with art, with music mostly. You know, anything that was commercial, Oh, he just couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very much an avant-garde kid.
Yeah, yeah. It wants things that have a level of truth, an artistic expression that's honest. And then he'll just find things that are really, really offensive just to offend me. And it takes a lot to offend me. So he digs up some awful stuff.
I love that story.
Yes, he turned me into Gigi Allen. Like, Mike, please, don't do that, anything like that to me again.
You didn't know about Gigi Allen before him?
I did not, no. But I found I'm completely obsessed with the movie Alien. I found Gigi Alien shirts matching for the both of us.
That's fantastic. So I had a friend that booked music in the Seattle scene at the same time I was booking it down here. And he told me that Gigi Allen, right, would poop on the stage was the thing, right? So he would be opening up for like a Nirvana or somebody like that, or Mother Lugbone or somebody. And they would have to stop in between sets and send a crew out to clean the stage because somebody would have to
absolutely
scoop the poop.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
that was his job, was to scoop the poop in between sets, because whoever the headliner was wouldn't go on or whoever was doing cleanup, if he was headlining, wouldn't go on until the set was taken care of.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you have to play a stage full of poop. But, yeah, I think that's the funniest story.
It just reminds me of a joke. There's a guy whose job is to follow the elephant, not to compare Gigi to an elephant because elephants are wonderful, but in parades, his job is to follow the elephant and scoop the poop as it goes along. Somebody comes along to him and says, geez, you know, why are you doing this job? It's pretty bad. Why don't you find something else? And he says, what, and give up show business? No. Your
right?
friend had a job in
right?
show business, cleaning Gigi Allen's
that
crap.
Show business, right, but they had to go in. That was their claim to fame. Job. probably some little, kid that wanted to break into the scene, you know?
Yeah.
We've all done crazy things.
He tells stories about it to this day.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
Darling.
What are you doing, sweetie, in your own life to try to raise up the vibration? I mean, I know it's hard and I know it's not ideal in the world right now.
I mean, I can't help it when I see an injustice and I see that there's been an awful lot of harm done to people who, you know, got the vaccination because they wanted to do the right thing. My concern is, could we just hold off? I don't ever want to see there be mandates because I don't believe in mandates. I don't believe in the government anything. But I don't want to be doom and gloom, but let's take a look around. You know, bad things do happen. And I think that our liberties and our freedoms are really being hacked away. So, we really need to stand up for those things, and we need to stand up for each other.
I agree. Yeah. And just love each other. Stop shaming.
And it's with freedom that everybody gets happy. You know, that nobody has ever been happy in a tyrannical society where everybody has to do the same thing. When individuals get to flower and bloom, as long as they're not being selfish, that's really where the optimum experience comes from. And when people are happy, they're better to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that cycle you were talking about. Do that one more time for me, because that was amazing.
Oh, okay. bad times make strong people. Okay, bad times make strong people. Strong people make good times. Good times make weak people. Weak people make bad times. Rinse and repeat. So then the bad times make strong people.
So do you think in our country, I guess this is a political question, I'm more of a sociological question, do you think
yes.
that in our country and other countries that are first world countries, affluent countries, that people have just become lazy and entitled?
Yes.
And people,
absolutely,
they have everything. They stop thinking about how to raise the vibration of their communities and their states and countries and cities, and they start just thinking about themselves.
Yes, I do. And I also think that they pretend to care a lot. And it's like you can't wake up a man who's pretending to be asleep. You know, they pretend to care about others because it looks good on them, but they really don't care. And I think the people that have done the most changing have been the people in charge, the elites, as we call them. And especially in this country where this is supposed to be our country, they're supposed to be serving us. We pay their salary. And
right. yep.
they really think that we are their subjects.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're heading to serfdom if we don't say, hey, wait a minute. You know, you serve
right.
us.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that we, the people, need to be reminded that that's the way it is.
Right.
And in order
yeah.
to have that responsibility, then we need to show that we can self-govern and be good to each other without their help.
Green, how do you think self-governing would go? People are crazy.
Self-governing means just being responsible for your little place in the world. And I think if everybody did that, we would barely need government at all. You take care of yourself and you take care of those that are counting on you. And you make sure you
yeah.
do it, and you make sure that you're accountable for, you know, I mean, if your doorstep is suddenly, you know, got crap all over it, if Gigi Allen's been there, then it's up to you to sweep your doorstep.
Exactly. Gigi Allen's ghost is performing live on your front patio.
I think the ghost has inhabited all the birds here. I got a bird feeder. And,
exactly.
man, my balcony is just so full of bird poop.
Exactly. When Gigi Allen is being reincarnated as a seagull. Constantly pooping everywhere. And we were talking about how the good times make weak people. And
yeah,
then those weak people go forth and do what my mama used to call taking your half right out of the middle. They take the
yeah.
programs and special advantages that are made for people who really cannot help themselves, and they jump in and take it.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, because that's one of the things I don't like about libertarianism. Is that it, you know, it's so into be responsible for yourself, but, you know, people do get into times that they have no control over, or even if they did have control, even if you could say, oh, you could have seen that coming a mile away, they didn't, and they're in a situation where they need help. We have to
right.
account for that, and we have to be able to help, and if we're a successful society, then we can help. I think a lot of people have been guilty of, I'm not going to say so much that it's people that are looking for a handout. I would say it's the people that are doling out the handouts, that are using people and keeping them down by doing so.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's looking to see where is the thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, where's mine? Why does that disabled person get that? Where's mine? That's
yeah.
part of the weak times making the weak people.
Yeah, I think so. Because Yeah, weak people, I think that they're also kind of bored people, so they have time to look around and go, you know, why does he have something that I don't have? Well, because he worked for it, or, you know, he, like, I have this little girl in my class who's like, why can Sherman can play the violin, and I can't. Obviously, I didn't like this child, and I'm like, Sherman can play the violin because Sherman works very hard at it. Come here, Sherman. How much do you practice? Well, she practiced every day for at least an hour. And I said, well, honey, are you willing to do that? She's like, no. I go, okay, that's why you don't play the violin.
And on that bit of wisdom, my friend, we're totally out of time. Will you come back and we'll do this again?
Absolutely. I would love to.
Me too. Where can people find you online, though?
Not that much of a presence. I am on Facebook creating trouble from time to time.
Okay.
You know, there's a bunch of other platforms where it's just, you know, crickets chirping. I'm again, working on my book, which maybe I'll get ready, but I'm at Vibe Performing Arts Studios in Santa Clarita, California, teaching a class in filmmaking for children, and we begin in a week, so enrollment is now.
I love that. Go and do that, my friends. Thank you so much for being here, sweetheart. An honor to have you here, and was it Halloween 2018? Was that the last time we were together on the air?
Wow.
Right around Halloween. It's when you were on the AM local AM station here in Los Angeles, and I believe
Yes, we did it on Halloween. Yes. Yes, you co-hosted with me.
It's like a couple days.
Yeah, that was
Halloween.
Wonderful.
2018? Something like that. Got
yes.
it. Who knows?
Yes.
It goes so fast, right?
It does.
We can keep track of it. But it was so good. It's so good to be back on the air with you where I think we belong. My wonderful friend. And everybody, thank you, sweetheart. If you missed those links, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for all your spiritual, psychic, entertainment, radio needs. That's where I am, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Also, this show, RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, and the network is at LiveParanormal.com tonight at 9 o'clock Pacific time. I will be on Live Paranormal's video channel, Facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. Doing my companion to this. It's called I Am Raising Your Vibration. That's where I'll be. And check it out. Till I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity. I'm at raisingthevibration.org. That's my nonprofit. This is Raising the Vibration Radio. I love you all. I'll see you next time.